May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 356. 356. Does the gospel word proclaim rest for those who weary be? Then my soul put in thy claim, sure that promise speaks to thee. Marks of grace I cannot show, all polluted is my breast, yet I weary am I know, and the weary long for rest. 356.
Let us read the Word of God this evening, friends, two portions. That is, in the Psalms, Psalm 103, and also reading in James' Epistle, the first chapter. That is Psalm 103 and James, the Epistle of James, the first chapter. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, O ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let us also read in the Epistle of James, the first chapter. James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seemeth to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he grant us prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, who hearest now in heaven thy dwelling place, we venture to come to thee, O Lord, our God, who holy art. We feel so unworthy of the least of thy notice, Lord, but we come in our need, pleading for help, for much needed help in this service, that we may be favoured we may be enabled to worship thee, our triune God, in spirit and in truth. O Lord, do give us each real worship. Come, Lord, and bless us as the psalmist was. How he was so favoured at that time, and how he began in that way. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, help us. Give us, Lord, to feel the great cause we have to worship thee, to praise thee, our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all we come pleading the precious name of Jesus. This is our only hope in way of approach, that we may find access to thee, O God, our Heavenly Father. We plead for Jesus' sake, that name that thou, the Father, loves, to hear thy children plead. Wonderful is the theme, if we know it, all such pleading he approves and blesses them indeed. Come and bless us here tonight, Lord, that we may be blessed in our souls. We may be broken in heart and spirit, in humility and love, and that we may, Lord, so have great cause to praise thee, our God. O Lord, come and suit thy blessing to each soul, each case here, Lord, and we are aware of those that will be listening in. And Lord, we pray for each, that thou wilt cure us by the means we have in these days, that those who are not able to gather may hear for the good of their souls, and may too join us in worship, in praise of our God. Lord, thou knowest there are those away seeking rest and change, and our heart's desire and prayer for them is that thou wilt bless them. It may be good that they are favoured with rest and change, good for their bodies and minds and their soul. Lord, do watch over and keep them from all harm and danger, and bring them back at this appointed time. We know some are in the different areas of this country, and what a lovely country our country is, where there is still much of the unmarred areas of that which is of thy creation. And as dear friends have made known today to one, they love to go walking and be at the seaside and also in the broadlands. And Lord, I do pray that will keep them each safe and bless them as they use the goodness of the bounty of nature, Lord, in this way, in desire to so enjoy the favours naturally given and appointed for people to benefit by. And Lord, the lovely weather we're experiencing, the sun shining, we bless thee, Lord. But oh, above it all, may thy dear people know the sunshine of thy love. Oh, that blessed heavenly heat we desire to know tonight, which will set our souls on fire to praise thee, our God. Oh, we pray, Lord, warm us, warm our cold hearts, they're so often cold. Warm our cold hearts with heavenly heat and set our souls on fire. And oh, may we so be feeling that burning love, that wonderful love of thee, our God, the love of Christ. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners. Bless souls to know and feel the great favour of it, the wonders of thy grace. And Lord, that favour known by faith, as we have in the reading in the both portions, that which does so especially speak of the vital grace of faith, thou givest thy people to believe. May it be our favour tonight to have the favour, faith, our faith may be active in the Lamb once slain. We may be blessed in true believing. Lord, do come then and bless each one as we are before thee together, desiring to be feeling in the blessed feeling sense of thy blessed presence. Come, Lord, presence thyself with us as thou dost not with the world. And Lord, thou knowest thy people in the various cases of their lives and pathways. Some have affliction, some have a path of tribulation more than others. But Lord, we know thou hast purpose to sanctify thy people according to thy perfect mind and will. And Lord, we pray it may be like we've read, that thy purpose is known and experienced to perfect that which concerneth us, even to make us perfect in that completeness of thy favour at thy time of thy appearing for us, and so that we are prepared, that we come to the end of our journeys and as one dear younger soul put a little couplet in the message, oh, may I be ripe. Oh, what a favour to really need it and desire it. May I be ripe at the harvest time of souls. Lord, thou knowest, as we've spoke recently regarding the crops of the earth, especially the wheat crop. Well, Lord, thou knowest the wheat and the barley crop. And Lord, we know it is not really fully ripe until the ears are bending over, hanging down, surrendered to the sun. And Lord, thy people in need to be brought, to be bending over to thee, surrendered to thee, Lord, the Son of God, the crucified one, surrendered to the crucified. Oh, may this be a favour. And as we look on the fields, Lord, oh, we see them white, ready to harvest, and many have been already harvested. Lord, may there be yet those, as we believe there are yet those, whom thou hast a purpose to so prepare, bless and prepare, to send them out into the work of the ministry. May the favour be so given as it was with one all those years. Look on the fields, they are white, ready to harvest. Thou knowest thy will, Lord. We beg we may seek ever to know and do thy will. We pray thy work may appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. We pray, Lord, especially for the young people of this people here at Swavesey, Lord. Thou knowest them each and all. Oh, bless them, Lord. Bring them into real things of thy teaching, Lord. Thy wonderful saving grace. According to thy will, we beg thee. Quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. And oh, may we see thy work appearing in the young of the families, Lord, of our friends, who knoweth all of those, of their many friends and our own. We do beg for it, Lord, according to thy will, that thy work may appear in many, that thou wilt save, work in thy way, thy wonderful way to save from sin and death and hell and unto heaven. Oh, may there be many brought to know and feel so deeply and solemnly their need of a Saviour. Oh, Lord, we believe this is thy way, thy perfect way and purpose to so work. It will convince of sin, of righteousness and judgment to come. And those that know it in some depth and measure will need to flee for refuge, to lay hold of the hope in the gospel. Oh, Lord, may this be. And as, Lord, we've been feeling the theme of the hymn, Lord, which was a special hymn to my dear late godly grandfather. Often he used to give it out. Oh, Lord, and our desire even now, rest for those that weary be. Lord, do bless, help, and be with us each. Lord, lead us on in the way. Lead us in the way everlasting. Oh, hear us, our poor breathings, our poor prayers. Make up in giving where we fail to us, Lord. Come now in our time of need. Who knoweth how it is such a time of need, and one is so feeling the insufficient. But Lord, may we prove again our sufficiency is of thee, our good and gracious God. We beg thee, pleading thee forgiveness of all our many sins and shortcomings, and plead in the precious name of Jesus, and for his sake. Amen.
Let us sing hymn 445. 445. Join every tongue to sing the mercies of the Lord, the love of Christ our King. Let every heart record. He saved us from the wrath of God and paid our ransom with his blood. Hymn 445.
Thank you.
as the Lord may help me, Lord, help me, friends, this evening, I would direct you to some words in the 103rd Psalm. That is the 103rd Psalm, the verses 17 and 18. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Really, the flow of this theme is from those wonderful words, which are such a tremendous, wonderful statement, in the 12th verse, the 12th and 13th and 14th verses, a very wonderful part of the Word of God. Let us read them to come to the text. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord, the text, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I thought, and I even, which I don't do very often, I even made mention to my dear one, as I was thinking early this morning, pondering, trying to beg of the Lord to lead me in his word for this evening, and also that I had the duty to do the reading for the people at Harpenden, as I had exchanged with dear Graham Hadley, as he has his son visiting today. And so we changed from my Wednesday to today. And as we come to the time of reading, it came so strongly to me that I should read the 103rd Psalm. So I phoned the home to tell them, to give them the foreknowledge that that is where I would read. And when they phoned me to make connection, this is where we were in the Word of God. And so, friends, and I felt I should mention that because our dear friend's hymn just now is so exactly upon the text, on the mercy of the Lord. It's very humbling for us when we prove these things, such a blessed flowing together. But it is upon my heart and spirit to try to preach to you tonight from these words, the 17th and 18th verses here. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Yes, it's true. It's so verily, solemnly true that man, as for man, his days are as grass. Do you feel the solemnity of this, friends? Do I? We're fast hastening on. As I said to our friends when we arrived, and they arrived, I said we have a long way across the sea of time, and those of us in old age certainly are. And you young people, you know, I would say to you, not to discourage you, but to give you what we have proved in our own experience, something of it, which may be a help to you. You know, time may drag in your young days. It may seem a long time, even a week. If you're at work, some of you in your employment, good employment and good purpose in life, you go start to work on Monday, and it seems a long time to the end of the week. But oh, as you get older, it won't seem so long. And days will pass. You know how the word states it. Days, how swift they pass, they go. Swift as an Indian arrow flies, and like a shooting star, This is, and lives are ever on the wing and death is ever nigh. The reality of that, friends. And it's serious consideration that we should take notice of and be involved in. Serious consideration that we are fast hastening on, friends. I remember a late dear beloved friend, the Lord's servant, Mr. Oliver Pack, preaching to us at Stockport Hope when I was in my young days. And he made mention of some of his experience. There he was so solemnly under God's solemn dealings and teachings. And there was a time with him. It may have been a long lasting time. I know he stated it. He was in a state when he couldn't bear the clock ticking. He couldn't bear to be sitting and listening to the clock ticking, because every tick he realised and felt it so solemnly, he was another minute, as it were, nearer eternity. As the Lord, as he did me when I was young, he brought me to know and feel the solemnity of the theme, eternity. Tremendous sound, to guilty souls a dreadful wound. But oh, if Christ and heaven be mine, and I couldn't enter into that in those earliest days, but the solemnity of eternity being a tremendous sound to me, it was truly a tremendous sound. And I was a guilty soul, brought under the law of God, condemned under the law of God. Oh, and had not yet been raised to a hope, I think, of those months. But then, mercifully, wonderfully, God raised me to a hope, and Christ was then all my plea, all my hope, and all my desire. How is it with you, dear young people, and others may be older? You might have been going on in a profession of religion, and not any real life in your religion. You know, some do. Some go on many years simply thinking they keep the Lord's day, they read the Word of God, but they're not spiritual characters until the Lord, if it be his purpose and will, begins his work of grace in them. Do you feel you can give witness of God having begun his work of grace in you? Have you that evidence of the work of the Spirit in you? That beginning of the work, how God begins and he quickens a dead sinner into life. Oh, are you alive? Spiritually, I mean. We know we are alive naturally. But we can be alive all our days naturally and never be alive spiritually. But oh, friends, oh, what a question. Let us ask the important question. Am I quickened by his Spirit? Live a life of faith and prayer. You know, all our coming to chapel will avail nothing if we're never quickened into newness of life by the Spirit. If we're never born again, remember the words, that solemn statement the Lord made repeatedly to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." Oh, how he questioned it. He didn't understand. He questioned what the Lord had said. And then the Lord repeated it, "Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again." And there's a wonderful evidence in Nicodemus for that love he showed. After the Lord had given up the ghost on the cross, he with Joseph of Arimathea, they went and took down the body of the Lord and did those important right things and laid the dear Lord's holy body in the sepulchre. Oh, see the evidence. And you know we have it in the context, and we've read it in James, that God's purpose and will for his people is that they may be doers of the word and not hearers only. But let us come to the text, friends, as God may help us. This is a wonderful but. There are those wonderful buts in the word of God. Oh, this but, this acknowledgement prior to the text is solemn. It's the reality of life and death, the reality of human life and death, and how, and I used to see it so much when we was growing the wheat crop and we did the needful applications going through it. And there was a time when the wheat crop has come out on flower, you know, if you look at it carefully, when it's growing, when the ear has been formed, and what we know and acknowledge the flag leaf and then the ear, and you see the ear of corn, and after a little while, when the ear has emerged, you will find there's many, 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 it's a flower on every kernel site. There's a flower. And you know, we used to be going through the crop and we used to even see and find where it was that the axles of the machine brushed the wheat. There would be these great big clusters of flour lodged on the axles, and you could get handfuls off of flour that had fallen away from the wheat. And it had lodged there. You see, the flower falleth. It does. The time comes. The flower of our lives will come to the time when it will fall away. We all do fade as a leaf, friends. Oh, how we need to be prepared for that great day which is before us each. Prepared for death and eternity. If eternity has been made a tremendous sound to you, you will want to be prepared for it. You will need to be. You will pray to be. Now, are you such a soul? And is it your favour to be one of these characters here we have the statement of them, everlasting upon them that fear him. Fear him. Oh, and this is not slavish fear. You may know, and every one of God's people are troubled and very troubled at times by slavish fear. But this is filial fear. And like the precious grace of faith, the grace of filial fear, it is given to God's people. It works in them. It is an influence in them, which works by love. God's love. God's love is the power that affects the child of God to bring them into filial fear. A dear friend and sister was mentioning before the service, mentioning my last sermons here upon the word, O Lord, remember me with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Visit me with thy salvation. And also she was saying that there is that parallel word relating to Jabez prayer. Oh, that the Lord would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast and keep me from evil. And you know, it was filial fear in Jabez that caused him to have such desire, such need, and such a way to express before God in prayer that the Lord would do it. Yes, it was fear, filial fear. It was the grace of filial fear. Is the grace of filial fear in you and me, friends? Do you have evidence of it within your very heart and soul that you have this great favour granted you of filial fear? And oh, what an exchange of fact it is when we see in the previous verses, oh, how the statement solemnly is, and the place thereof shall know it no more. The place that we know, where we walk and talk and where we do business and where we live, our dwellings, our villages, and in our family circles, the place where we are and are favoured much, even providentially, that place will know us no more forever, when we come to the hour, an article of death. But oh, wonderful word here that follows, this wonderful word that I believe the Lord so gave me to see and to concentrate on in meditation after we've read this chapter, this psalm to the people at Harpenden and prayed with them and for them. It seemed to so open up that this is what I must bring to you tonight. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Oh, what a wonderful fact it is. Now, friends, let me pointedly ask you, I trust I have the desire to and exercise to ask you in love and faithfulness, are you favoured in such a way as this? Do you know the great favour of this but, which is that which brings to the child of God the favour, as the Spirit may apply it, we hope tonight, but the mercy of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord, is from everlasting to everlasting. Let us consider it from everlasting. Well, of course, everlasting, it's the everlasting God, the eternal God, who set his love upon his people before the world began, before he created the world. Oh, God's mercy, his parallel runs along with his love and his mercy. Oh, the mercy of the Lord, the mercy in the fact that his love is such that he has chosen his people, love them with an everlasting love. Is it a special word to any one of you here tonight, where the Lord speaks through the prophet Jeremiah, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Is this a favour that any one of you know? God has blessed you with such a word, or some other word, some other word to confirm to you that you are one he loves. God's mercy is upon those he loves, toward those he loves, and it's from everlasting. Because, of course, the covenant transactions of Jehovah were in eternity before the world. And God chose his people, set his love upon a number which no man can number. But let us be careful as we name that. It's the truth. But you know, comparatively to the masses of humanity, God's people are comparatively few. But we know John, when he had that wonderful view, it was revealed to him in that way it's stated in Revelation. He saw a number which no man can number, already home in heaven, around the throne of God. And oh friends, it is a tremendous vast number, God's election of grace, his people. But oh, as we think of it, many, many millions, and it will be billions of souls, will be left in sin to die. Now, people might say, God, what sort of God is this that has only love to a number which no man can number that he has chosen? Well, of course, God is love and he's good to all, friends. God is good to all. Good to all humanity. His tender mercies are over all his works. But he is savingly good, wonderfully good to his people whom he has foreknown, whom he has chosen ere time began. Now the great point here, the wonderful, important point, is that he will bring each one of his people that he loves to be concerned and to need to know. Are you one who needs to know? Has God given you such a concern, such a need to know that he loves you? This was a question with me in my young days, which I pleaded before God so much. Doth thou love me, Lord? Did thou set thy love upon me before the foundation of the world, as the Lord began to reveal his word to me, open up the truth to me? It was made to me to be such a concern. Does God love me? And wonderfully, as God went on in much mercy to be gracious to me, he gave me some tokens of his love. This is a prayer with you tonight. Show me some token, Lord, for good. Some token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. The truth is, God's mercy, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him and his righteousness unto children's children. You know what you will learn. Everyone has to learn that we are all unholy and unclean. It's the work of the Spirit to so do this in God's people, to show them what they are, to convict and convince of sin. And you know, I don't think you will pray like the hymn writer put it, before you are begun in, convict, convince us of our sin and lead to Jesus' blood. But when you know something of being convicted and convinced of your sin, and then know something of this mercy of the Lord to those who are convicted and convinced of their sin, you want to know it more. And you'll start to pray, like the hymn writer put it, convince us of our sin, then lead to Jesus' blood, and to our wandering view reveal the secret love of God. This is what you so much are feeling your need of now, after the Lord has begun in you, those who are able to give witness of him. You are a favoured soul. The Lord has in his great love and mercy begun to work, to deal with you. And surely it is a witness within God's people who are quickened into divine life, and God is going on to be gracious in them. Surely they are manifested. And those that discern things carefully and prayerfully will see the difference. These characters who are brought to fear God. Oh, to fear him. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. You know, especially we think much, and as you know, I've made mention of it before, in my earlier days coming to you. It must be about 30 years ago, when we took the Sunday school at one time, a time of harvest, and the dear young people, they were so diligent in writing notes to me, and I've still got them. And it's very, very humbling and very, very wonderful. Some of those dear young souls are now members of the church here. What the Lord does, brings those he loves to fear him, brings them into concern, brings them to need, and this is the vital point, to need to plead for mercy. Is this your plea, friends? Is this your need? Mercy through blood. I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. Oh, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him and his righteousness unto children's children. Wonderful to see children's children come. Children's children worked in. I hope and pray for this every day, that we may have witness in our children of God's work in them. Oh, that his work may appear in them. And with you here, the families here, those away on holiday, and every one of you, oh, you blessed with children, some are not, and we greatly feel for them. But oh, the important need for us all to be praying. Oh, that God would so bless the dear young people, the children and children's children, and God's mercy to them. Mercy, mercy's friends. God's mercy. How wonderfully one puts it in the hymn, "Thy mercy in Jesus exempts us from hell. His wonders I see, his glories I tell. Thy free grace alone from the first to the last." Can you say it? Is it true concerning you? Is it true concerning me? "Thy free grace alone from the first to the last has won my affection and bound my soul fast." It's wonderful, but friends, yes, we are more and more coming to realise the solemnity of life and death, that we must all die and be as water spilt upon the ground, which cannot be gathered up. And before us there is that vast eternity. There is the judgment day before us. Oh, oh my God, prepare my soul for that great day. Wash me in the Saviour's blood. Take my sins away. And I believe here, friends, this word has within it the way of God's mercy, the way of his love and mercy. His mercy is in Jesus. Oh, oh, what the Son of God has come to do. Oh, what is accomplished in his life and death and by his glorious resurrection here on earth, and by his ascension into heaven, he's took his place there in heaven to fulfill his offices in heaven as intercessor, mediator, and the great high priest of the church. Oh, friends, God's mercy. Mercies that are known day by day as God blesses souls. Mercies, oh, and I think of it oftentimes when some very painful thing comes in the providence of God, when tragedy comes with some, as one has known. And you know, when these very hard things are given to God's people to have to experience, when much loss is felt, when there is loss, disappointment, or whatever it is, of the things according to nature, of tribulation and trial, you can always find mercy. There's always mercy to be found. God's people will give acknowledgement of it. God will show his people. It's all mercy outside of the pit where we deserve to be. My grandfather, as I've told you before, was specially given to often quote, "Ah, but for free and sovereign grace, my heart had lived as strange to God till hell had proved the destined place of my deserved but dread abode." He was saved from it, I believe. He was saved unto heaven and his home in glory. I'm absolutely sure of it, because when my mother phoned us to tell us he had gone, the words immediately came with such sweetness and power, "He's gone." And I actually quoted them back to my mother on the phone. "He's gone in endless bliss to dwell. But we are left below to struggle with the powers of hell till Jesus bid us go." I had been raised to a hope then, and been blessed and been set at gospel liberty by then. And I should have followed the Lord. But wretched heart kept us down, and we didn't follow the Lord when we should have done. Is there anyone here tonight? You know you should have followed the Lord when he blessed you, but you haven't. And we have it in the following verse, which we hope to touch upon. But friends, oh, how wonderful this mercy, God's mercy, the mercy of the Lord. But the mercy of the Lord, do you know it? Do you know the favour of it? The blessed favour of the mercy of the Lord. You know, there's the favour of singing of mercy. There's the favour of testifying of mercy. The favour which will come out from a soul blessed when their cup runs over. When they say, like the psalmist, "My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That comes with the confidence of faith which God gives. When he blesses a soul, assuring them of their part in the Redeemer's blood, which I hope I knew, especially I knew it in 1964, and walked this earth in such sacred, blessed peace for 5 days. And then we came right down from the mountaintop into the depths of trial and tribulation. And the old Prince of Darkness, as I told you before, dear Mr. Green, late Mr. J.S. Green, said to me, "Nor will they be wanting of gunshot from hell. The old Prince of Darkness will furnish them well." Is he furnishing you like that now? Is he tempting you? Is he harassing you? Is he telling you you've quite mistook the way? Oh, be sure of this. As their late dear friend said also to me, you know, he said, "I don't think the devil is worried about the dead professor, those who are still in the world. He's not worried about them. His spite and his spleen and all his opposition is to and against God's people. It's God's people who will experience the onslaught of Satan. They will know what it is to be in the unequal war with Satan. They will know what it is to be in conflict. Oh, that conflict that goes on betwixt the powers of grace and sin. But friends, in all this, in all what God's people have to experience, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. It is proved. We give witness of it, of what we've known, the wonders of God's grace, his gracious favour to us in giving grace. He giveth grace, he giveth more grace. Oh, that wonderful grace, great grace. Remember Mr. Crowder coming to Ashwell, preach from the subject, "Great grace was upon them all." What a sweet and blessed sermon it was. Great grace was upon them all. Do you know great grace? Oh, great sinners need a great Saviour, and they need, and God grants it, great grace to them, so that they persevere and endure. They are helped and blessed and led on in the way because God's purposes of love and mercy to them. Oh, wonderful it is that these people are led on by the Spirit of God, following the Lamb. Oh, you go along following the Lamb, seeing by faith your Lord going, having gone before you, gain the victory of sin and death and hell for us. Friends, yes, as we come to this part, everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him and his righteousness unto children's children. Have you been, have I been, have we each been, having to learn, having to know, having to come into the solemn reality to know that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We have to learn much about ourselves, what we are, as wretched sinners. And here we brought to feel we're unworthy of the least of God's notice. But God is wonderfully, graciously, blessedly taking notice of us and knowing everything about us. And his purpose, according to his will, is to lead on his people, to teach them, to sanctify them, to separate them out for his praise. If you're experiencing sanctification, I'm sure you will be experiencing the favour of God separating you out. You have to leave a lot. You have to lose a lot. You have to know the stripping and be stripped of all your own fancied meatness. and then to approach the dread I am and to see all fitness centering in the worthy Lamb, the favour and his righteousness. Oh, what a wonderful word this is, this word righteousness. Especially not when it's just fig leaf righteousness, which we know is a solemn fact of all mankind. They have self-righteousness. And self-righteousness, one put it very pointedly, is wrong. But God's righteousness is so wonderfully right according to his will for his people. And so the word runs on like this. Upon them that fear him and his righteousness, and the children's children, all the people of God, all the children of God, those who have the favour to see their children walking in the fear of God. The Apostle Paul, he spoke of it, I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in truth. And of course, his spiritual children, especially those named, Timothy and Titus, and how this word was applicable, so much was witnessed in those dear souls, and that grace in Timothy, which was in his grandmother Lois, and his mother and his grandmother, and in thee also the word says, oh, what wonderful favour. But mercy, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him and his righteousness unto children's children. But friends, let us come, as God may help us, closer to this. Do you need his righteousness? And why is it, how is it that you need his righteousness? Is it truly so? As regarding you and me, we are having to learn that our righteousness is all futile and it's wretched. It's not righteousness. We might have think of it a lot in our earlier days that we're all right and we're righteous and we do right things and we do not do evil things. We do not steal. We do not tell lies. We do not say words that are not to be said. Oh, and we might think, as I was thinking when I was in my young teenage, I was all right and I was living a careful life. My parents brought me up well and honestly prompted me ever to honesty and kindness. And I was thinking I was all right, satisfied with how I was. But you know, God showed me that I was all wrong and that I got such dire bodings in me of my sin, convicted, convinced of sin, and then mercifully led one to Jesus' blood. Now, are you a character who knows and feels it deeply? All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And oh, how this will cause us, I believe, as the Spirit works in us, to know our need of imputed righteousness. So the theme is this, solemnly separating righteousness within thee rooted may appear to take thy part, but in the true exercise by the Spirit we will say, we'll desire it, we'll pray for it, but let righteousness imputed be the breastplate of my heart. Do you need Christ's righteousness, friends? Let us consider what we need that comes from and by Jesus Christ. We need, surely, sinners convicted, convinced of their sin, condemned under the law, need salvation. And oh, can we come to feel the favour of acknowledging Jesus is our great salvation? Do you have hope of salvation in his name? Is he made so precious, so needful to you? Does God reveal that everything for the saving of souls is in and through Jesus Christ? His life, His death, His glorious resurrection, and what He is involved in His offices in heaven now. We depend upon all what He is, all what He's done, and what He's doing now. And so, especially, to be led into considering Christ, and to be led into the things of the wonders of His grace. The wonders of His grace are all that which He attended to here on earth, as He went about doing good, as He kept the whole law of God, as He kept the law and made it honourable on His people's behalf. He never, never sinned. As we were thinking, especially of Him last evening, preaching to the friends at Clifton, in the place of one of other ones of God's dear servants who couldn't take the service. And their text last evening was in Isaiah 63, those profound words, in all their affliction, He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and in His pity, He redeemed them, and He carried them all the days of old. Oh, friends, do you need Him? He who in all their affliction, He was afflicted. Think of it with your own case, your affliction of sin, your affliction of all what it is through sin and Satan's power and the wretchedness of your wicked heart, all that affliction you know, and looking and under conviction, being convinced as a sinner. Oh, you need a Saviour. Is He precious? Did you become favoured in the way to love Him in the want of Him? Is it with some of you more than that now? You love Him. Can you say, I love Him in the possession of Him? To possess Christ, to find Him, to have Him, the pearl of great price, the preciousness of the Lord. Oh, the wonders of His grace, the wonders of redeeming love, His righteousness. He's fulfilled the law on His people's behalf. He has brought in everlasting righteousness, His righteousness. Oh, what a statement this is. And His righteousness unto children's children, in the church of God, in the family of God, to such as keep His covenant. Now, we won't not from our old nature. This involves the new heart and nature of the child of God. It's the new man of grace who has granted him or her the enabling graces to so live in the fear of God and with the exercise to please God. It's a great and wonderful thing. The Lord, of course, said perfectly, completely, I do always the things that please my Father. You know, I believe the child of God will have exercise to do, want to be doing the things that please God, their Heavenly Father, and the things that honour their beloved Saviour, the Son of God. To such as keep His covenant. His covenant. He made a covenant, we know, of course, with Isaac and Jacob. He made a covenant with His people. Has He made a covenant with you? Has He blessed you in such a way that it is as if He's made a covenant with you? Or is it that He has won thy affection and bound thy soul fast? And that those great wonders of those great things that He's done for you bring you into a feeling of accountability to your God. Not that we have to enter into anything or do anything for our salvation, but we are called upon to live to the praise of our God, to deny self and take up the cross and follow Christ. Oh, such as keep His covenant, the covenant of grace, which God by the Spirit opens up and reveals and grants the child of God, that they're blessed to know they have an interest in the covenant of grace. And God makes a covenant with them How does he give that confidence and favour to his people? He says, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that thou mayest boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And you'll be able to say, even before the world and before the enemy, I will not fear what man shall do unto me, because of this wonderful covenant. Covenant ordered in all things and sure. This covenant, O believer, stands thy rising fears to quell, signed by thy bleeding surety's hands in all things ordered well. Can you feel it? Oh, is God making it known to you, giving it to you, in all things ordered well for thee? What great mercy is given a child of God to feel when it is given. They have the sweetness of the favour of faith in exercise, faith in the bleeding lamb, and in all things ordered well for thee. What a favour it is, especially as the child of God experiences many changes and darkness and winter time, and sometimes sad desertion by their God because of they've erred and slipped and fallen, and God withdraws, and he does it in love and not in anger, because of what they are, how fickle, how solemn, how soon they are, prone to folly, prone to wander, Lord, I fear it, prone to leave the God I love. And oh, he will give you that plea, here's my heart, Lord. Pagan, seal it from thy courts above. But the favour then, but oh, to pursue this in this word a little more, as God may help us, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. You know, in the keeping of God's commandments is great reward. He does in several places in the word add a promise when he says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And then he says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. God promises the continuing gift of the Holy Spirit to those who are enabled by his grace to keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. They are blessed. They're great favour, sacred privilege to hear and heed his commands. Oh, the favour of it, to be in the favour, enabled to be in the favour, to desire to and have purpose to, and oh, to come before him with thanksgiving and praise. Honour your Saviour. Think of all what he's done. Think of all what he's gone through for you. Think of all what he's suffered, his agonies in Gethsemane and in the judgment hall and on the pavement where he was beaten with that terrible Roman scourge. Oh, think of your Saviour. Think of his holy soul when he poured out his soul unto death. Oh, think of him. Think of him as that bread, corn, bruised. Sometimes we're led to speak of it at the Lord's Supper. Bread, corn is bruised. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. This was, of course, the bearing of the punishment instead of the church. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all the church. Is it given you to have hope that your sins were laid on Christ? Have you had a glimpse of your Saviour on the cross, suffering in your place? Have you had it like the hymn writer puts it, hear the blessed Spirit say, all this was done for you? Well, oh, does this word so come to you tonight that you should so heed it and be blessed to be among those, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Hart is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Jabez Rutt next Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 592. Mighty to save is Christ the Lamb. Let all the saints adore his name and make his goodness known. With one accord proclaim abroad the wonders of their Saviour God, whose blood did once atone. Hymn 592.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, grant us that blessed favour to anticipate heaven, to be with thee, which is far better, when we're done with this world. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So help us the rest of our days to live unto thee, to thy praise, honour and glory. Give us the enabling for this, Lord. Keep our old nature down and may grace reign. So help us, lead us on, Lord, lead us in the way everlasting. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and evermore. Amen.